Hello and welcome to this week's edition of Marker's Eye on La Liga. This is not the voice of Ollie Wilson you're hearing. This is Mark Mayer covering for Ollie Wilson. He's at some game tonight. Apparently there's a Barcelona-Atletico Madrid game. We're not too sure. This is being recorded on Tuesday afternoon. So we'll be publishing this on Wednesday morning. So the Copa del Rey game between Barcelona and Atletico Madrid tonight, not quite the forefront of our mind, but nonetheless, we have the finest La Liga minds to dissect the weekend's action for you. Joining me today is Ewan McTeer, author of Eye by the Wave and Marker journalist. How are we doing, Ewan?
Yeah, very good. I'm trying to work out what way I should act, as if Barcelona have won and are in the final, or as if there was a fantastic Atletico comeback that everyone's talking about when they hear this. So I'm still trying to work out which one to take, but I'm good.
Yeah, hopefully we'll be of the position that by tomorrow morning, nothing noteworthy would have gone on. It would have been a nice 0-0 draw. And we'll all look perfectly normal. And also with me this week is Simon Harrison. How are you doing, mate? Simon, of course, working for Marker English, who scored a number of football websites.
Not too bad. Just hoping for a bit less rain this week. I think it'd be nice.
Yeah, the stormy weather seems to have crossed all over Europe. So if you're listening to this in a part of the world that is lovely and sunny, then I can assure you that there are millions envious of you at this point in time. We'll kick off then with the not quite the stormy weather news of the week, but where sunnier climes really are hitting home for Barcelona. There's been a really real change to this past month, and you could say for 2017, since the new year has come in, Luis Enrique's side have really kicked on, in the sense that they're turning the La Liga title race back on. That seems to have drifted away slightly, but the weekend victory over Athletic Club was really a nice moment for Luis Enrique to think that they are actually in the title race and that they can actually produce something in this season, even if it's not in La Liga, Champions League and Copa del Rey, very much on the cards. Who have been the two sort of standout players for you? We'll start with you, Ewan, because we've often talked about Lionel Messi and Luis Suarez on this podcast, but the last couple of weeks we've seen a few other players stand out. I'd say Alex Vidal and Arda Turan are certainly two options at the moment.
Yeah, Turan has been impressive all season. I think any time he's been given a chance, which hasn't been that often, he has delivered. I think he's got two hat-tricks already. He's got a couple other goals to add there. He's up there in their scoring charts. And when you look at his goals per minute ratio, he's doing fantastically. And he's offering so much more than that as well. Whether he plays in the front three as a substitute for one of Messi, Suarez, Neymar, the role that Alcacer was supposed to play, or whether he's a little bit further back in midfield, he's always doing the job. And he doesn't maybe get the recognition he deserves. And then the other player I would say that has really been a factor in the last few weeks is another one of the obvious names, but it's not really an obvious name, because a couple of months ago everybody was talking about how Neymar wasn't getting any goals, and he's still not getting that many. But again, he's just taking games and just bossing them from his side of the from his flank, and got another assist at the weekend, and everything just seemed to go through him. Partly because Suarez wasn't there, Messi got substituted for the first time in forever, and it's not breaking news to say that Neymar's a good player, but he showed that again this weekend.
This idea of Neymar taking games by the scruff of the neck, is that really what we've seen with the Brazilian winger, Simon? Is this sort of the typical Neymar performance that you would see, or is this sort of a new approach that he's taken under Luis Enrique this season?
Well, I mean, I would say that his form's been kind of patchy, but I would say in the last month you've seen flashes of the Neymar that everyone knows and loves to watch play football. I'd say in terms of his link-up play with the front three, he might have been a little bit better this year. But obviously the big factor is the fact that Oscar De Marcos, I think, is still staggering around on the pitch a bit dizzy after playing against Neymar on the weekend. But for me, two of the standout players that are a bit less household, I suppose, Alex Vidal. Apparently it's still funny that he's scoring goals, even though he's doing it a bit more regularly now.
Just about a comedy factor still, isn't it?
And also, I think Ter Stegen has really kicked on this month. He's looking very confident with the ball at his feet. He's kind of put those errors behind him. And when he's been called upon, he's made some very good saves. So I think it's important to obviously recognise the fact that Neymar is starting to look good. He's starting to be an important part of the MSN. But also that Enrique's rotation policy, it's finally starting to come good.
It's interesting that we've had Vidal and Turan, like we said, scoring goals. This team has scored 44 goals in their last 14 games. Are we now thinking of this Luis Enrique team as more entertaining, if not more prolific in terms of silverware, than Pep Guardiola's team at its peak a few years ago?
It's a little bit more entertaining because I think they are a bit patchier at the back than some of Guardiola's teams. So quite often they do have to come from behind. So from that sense, it is a bit more entertaining because the game at Real Betis last weekend was a fascinating, final 20 minutes when they really had to chase the game, and some of the other comebacks that they've made this season, coming from behind against Villarreal, against even Athletic in the cup when they had to come from the 2-1 first leg defeat. A lot of these games they really have to attack because they've put themselves in a bad situation, whereas with some of the Guardiola teams, the matches were so controlled from start to finish, there'd be an early goal that, the games maybe weren't quite as attack-minded because they were just sort of running the clock out. Luis Enrique's teams tend to need a goal at some point when still in the second half, and that makes it a bit more interesting.
The one thing I'd say I probably would like to see a little bit more from Enrique's teams, given that they sometimes maybe a bit more direct and what have you, it might be a bit harder in the sense of Alba and, under Guardiola it used to be Alves bombing on down that right-hand side. And I think you have kind of seen in little patches this season, there have been games where Sergio Roberto, Alex Vidal or Alba have had that kind of influence on the game. But I would say from the Guardiola days, I do kind of miss the whole overlapping Jordi Alba in terms of him having that real chemistry down the left-hand side, getting to the byline, having that little bit of chemistry with Xavi. But I would definitely say in terms of Enrique's teams, it's a lot more unpredictable. I think he's sort of taking little bits and bobs from what he thinks his team sort of needs, because this year I'd say it's probably been one of the more competitive title races, so I think there's a lot more to learn from the teams around you than maybe back in those Guardiola days.
I agree. I think a lot of the unpredictability of it comes from the defence and the fact that Barcelona aren't quite keeping goals out as well as Guardiola's team. As we say, the other teams just didn't have the possession, didn't have the capability to go and score goals. In the next couple of weeks, though, Barcelona, along with having this Copa del Rey game that, as far as we're concerned, doesn't ever happen, and the Champions League game against PSG as well, they've got some interesting away trips coming up against Atletico Madrid and Alaves. If we see those games dealt with as victories, like they've gone to Eibar, like they've gone to Sevilla and won this year, are they still just about clinging on to that title race? Or are we in the realm of saying that if they don't win those games, that acting Real Madrid permitting, that it's all over?
I think it's the title race is sort of an interesting sort of point at the moment, I find, because obviously Real Madrid have got the two games in hand, so theoretically that's a positive. Obviously they're a point clear with those two matches still to play on everyone else, but it does kind of leave Zidane's team needing to pick up those results. It doesn't really take any kind of pressure off them. If anything, if it comes to the end of the season and they have to play that Celta Vigo match after the rest of the La Liga calendar is finished, potentially it could be leaving them with, you know, games where they desperately need to pick up some points late in the season. And I don't see why Barcelona, with the form they're starting to click into, why they can't start pushing Real Madrid all the way. Barcelona did struggle against Alaves in the reverse fixture earlier on in the season, but I don't see why this run that Barcelona are going on and the form that their front three are starting to pick up, why it can't continue for quite a while yet. And I think it's only going to be a more positive atmosphere in the dressing room with the fact that all of these players that didn't maybe get a chance before, they're starting to get the chances, make some assists, score some goals. And I think there's just positive vibes going around, which Real Madrid will probably be quite wary of.
Yeah, and these two games coming up against Alaves and Atletico, it's almost the worst time to be facing those two teams, isn't it? Alaves are on top form at the moment, the best they've played all season, arguably, and in the Copa del Rey semi as well. Whereas Atletico Madrid, on a nice little unbeaten run, it must be quite daunting for Barcelona coming up to them now.
Yeah, I think it will be. And these are two teams that sort of play a style of football that at times has frustrated Barcelona, as it did when Alaves went to Camp Nou early in the season. They're both, Alaves are almost like a mini Atletico at the moment, with the way they're just against certain teams just sitting back, soaking up pressure and playing out for a 0-0 draw. I think in the last five matches they've got three or four 0-0s, including in that Copa first leg against Celta Vigo and against Atletico Madrid themselves. So, and Real Madrid found that, I think, when they went away to Alaves, they won 4-1, I think, in the end, but it took them a long, long time to break that Alaves team down. And once they got the first goal, it kind of, you know, forced Alaves out a little bit, but that wouldn't be an easy game. And of course, going away to Atletico Madrid, you never. Atletico Madrid are almost as patchy in their form as Barcelona are, so it depends which team is playing well that evening and which one decides to, you know, make that match a banana skin. So that would be an interesting one, just for to see if, because it'll probably be Barcelona's last time going to the cold draw, assuming that the stadium opens on time next year. So that could be the last really big match that Atletico play at home, and in that atmosphere, yeah, that's going to be a tricky one.
Yeah, absolutely. Some fascinating ties there, and not as we're usually looking at Barcelona's fascinating ties, because we simply can't call them at the moment. We'll be coming back and looking at the other player in the top two of the La Liga, although they weren't playing at all. We'll be back in just a minute. Welcome back to Marca's Eye on La Liga this week. As I say, there were some postponements over the weekend. You might have missed it, but Real Madrid didn't play, just for those who didn't know. And Deportivo La Coruña, Real Betis was also postponed, with a very familiar theme running through these two ties. Both Galician stadiums, both damaged roofs in the massive storms that hit the northwestern part of the country over the weekend. The state of Spain stadiums is a massive talking point at the moment. I want to kind of go away from should they or shouldn't they, because at the end of the day, it's very difficult for us to really know exactly the state of the roofs without being there. But this kind of make, do and mend mentality that's been in Spanish stadiums for a while, we've seen a lot of upgrades but not new stadiums. Of course, we have the Wanda Metropolitano being built for Atletico Madrid next season, and the new Mestalla, the Valencia ground, is still a shell of a stadium that's been untouched for some time now. Is the mentality in La Liga regarding stadiums at the moment right, would you say? I'll put that to Ewan first.
Yeah, I think when you look at those two examples you mentioned, Mark, the Atletico and Valencia ones, that sort of explains why most teams probably don't want to renovate their stadium, because for Valencia, it turned out it was just far too expensive. They built it at the wrong time when the property bubble burst. And then for Atletico, they're going to complete it, and it looks like it will go ahead and open in time for next season, even if they have to play the first couple of matches away from home. But again, it's been a massive project. There's been a few hiccups along the way, and it's turned out to be far more expensive than they thought it would be. They thought they would make money on this move, and it turns out that they won't be, and they may even have to offload some players in the summer. So that's probably why a lot of teams don't want to take on these massive projects, because they are just far too expensive for your typical Spanish club that has a little bit of debt. Looking to the future, though, I think with the new TV deal coming in, more and more teams are bringing in revenues that can allow them to focus on their stadiums. You look at Eibar, for example, and they just got a massive injection when they came up to La Liga, and it's almost quadrupled their budget, and they put a little bit of that into fixing their stadium. And I think other teams are going to get a similar injection of cash from these better bumped up TV deals, and the smart ones will put some of that towards their stadiums. Well, maybe the less sensible ones will focus on buying some player from some little unknown league. But yeah, they are a problem, like you say.
Simon, do you see this being a recurring issue in the coming years for La Liga? And if it is, what does that say about the sort of global brand that we all talk about? With Germany and had the World Cup in 2006, upgraded their stadiums. They're pretty much full every week. England had the 1990s with the Taylor Report and everything around that. Is Spain going to be seen as lagging behind on a global scale if these things reoccur?
I mean, it's tough to say, because I mean, as Ewan said, I would imagine that the majority of La Liga teams might actually be kind of looking for their budget to maybe go into a bit more playing staff. I mean, in terms of the level of competition in La Liga. I mean, spending that couple of million euros, it could make all the difference between finishing maybe 17th or finishing 10th. It's quite tight. And I think as long as there's that kind of disparity between the TV money, between, I don't know, foreign investment, I think it's hard for clubs to kind of commit that kind of investment where it's long-term to short-term, because if they do invest in these bigger stadiums but kind of neglect the playing side of things, it'd be very easy to find yourself slipping into that kind of Sporting Granada or Osasuna situation where you cut adrift, and then it's not going to look like such a good investment when you've been relegated. So, I mean, obviously there has to be the improvements or renovations made in terms of making sure that if there's weather like this again next year, for example, that it won't happen as it's happened in Galicia. But I think it would be quite unreasonable to assume that all of La Liga teams can really be looking to actually do that and make that significant sort of investment in something which might actually sort of hinder them in the long term.
Yeah, I see your point, because it's kind of, as someone who lives in a country with a worse climate than Spain, it does feel kind of counterintuitive to be thinking about Spain as a place where, you know, massive storms are going to be hitting. And Galicia, obviously on the Mediterranean coast, is probably really the only part of the country you'd say is vulnerable to that. It's a very temperate climate, especially down the Med. So we'll see how that unfolds in the next few years. Maybe it's something that has to be targeted for a few clubs as opposed to a blanket stadium upgrading. Let's move on to Real Madrid then, because we've had for almost decades now this Galactico mentality at Real Madrid. Is this going to be the season that we finally see the La Fabrica system pay dividends and produce trophies as well as a couple of players for the first team?
Yeah, you always had this Zidane's and Pavone's sort of mantra that they were going to buy superstars like Zidane and supplement that by getting cheap youth players like Paco Pavón. And it's interesting that the man who might come in and sort of change that mentality might be Zidane himself. He obviously started his coaching journey with the youth team, and I think that's maybe opened his eyes to how much talent there is there, what some of those players can do. And yeah, he's shown that he's willing to bring in some of the younger players, the ones that Simon mentioned there. And once he gets an even better group of the youth systems going forward, there's no reason why he shouldn't turn to them when he needs a player. You even saw last summer when they had this transfer ban, at least for one window, potentially two, coming up, and they didn't seem that bothered at all to go out and sign one of these Galactico players. And a lot of that seemed to be coming from Zidane, saying that he didn't want a big superstar to shoehorn into his team just because it was a big name and they'd had a good Euros or a good season beforehand. So, yeah, it's interesting that the Galactico could be the one to sort of end that era of just plucking the best player out of the most recent tournament, with James being probably the best example and worst example of that, because he had a stunning World Cup and there just didn't seem to be a place for him. And it seems like, as we all expected beforehand, the place for him is indeed on the bench. So, it's an interesting transition time for Real Madrid, and it's a positive that they're still winning matches and trophies as they transition.
It does feel like a transition time, I agree, and it'll be interesting to see how going forward these young players step up, because obviously we've seen the likes of Alexander Isaac, Gabriel Jesus, all targeted by Real Madrid as young players that they can kind of fit into this mentality. But obviously they haven't felt that the first team football was there, so I think Zidane's under a kind of a long-term plan to change that, and we'll see how the short term, as you say, Simon, whether they'll be able to combine the minutes for the likes of Tejero, Abner, Hakimi with trophies in this coming season. We'll be back after a short break where we'll be talking the rest of La Liga as the relegation battle and the battle for the Champions League hots up. Black magic woman, Right, welcome back to the final part of the show then. We'll be having a quick look at how the battle for 17th and the battle for 3rd are taking place in La Liga, as it's been a pretty stable situation in the relegation zone for some time now, but there are a few teams, Leganes, Deportivo and Valencia, and Malaga as well, who just can't seem to get away from the chasing pack. And chasing is a pretty loose term as well, with Sporting Gijón, Granada and Osasuna combining to just 6 wins altogether in La Liga so far this season. But it was Granada's first win in quite some time on the weekend. And Leganes in particular, a team that they appear to be the first team to drop down, don't they, Ewan? They appear to be the one who, when it comes to the experience of staying above the relegation zone, they're the ones that are just lacking at the moment.
Yeah, they've not won the game in their last 11 matches, and after a really bright start, it's all sort of fading away a little bit for them, even more so now that Granada have picked up that win, and Osasuna look to be playing really well. They've changed their coach, and it was an interesting switch at the time, I thought, because the sporting director, Peter Vasiljevic, which I've probably said wrong, he got rid of the manager, and he'd never coached before, and he just said, you know what, I'm going to do it, I can do better, I've seen 2 coaches already and I'm going to give it a go. And at the time I was at least sceptical, but he really has turned it around. They've been playing well, they've only picked up 3 points from the 5 games, but they've been playing really good stuff. And again, against Real Sociedad, they were unlucky not to win that game or even get a draw. They were unlucky not to beat Valencia. Against Sevilla, it took some controversial officiating for them to lose that game. So I think Osasuna, although they're right at the bottom, they've got some momentum behind them. But yeah, Leganes are falling the opposite direction, and it's been a bit unlucky for them. They've had so many injuries. They've lost their starting goalkeeper, they've lost their starting left back, their backup left back, they've lost midfielders as well. They lost David Timor just last week as well, and he'd been, I think, their second most used player so far this season. So they went out on deadline day and brought in 4 players. So I think they've kind of just picked up some players that were available in the market, and they're just going to, you know, throw it at the board and see what sticks. So it'll be interesting to see how these new players fit in. But yeah, Leganes look the most desperate of those teams that you mentioned there that are within touching distance.
I wouldn't worry too much about not saying Peter Vasiljevic's name right. We did have a podcast recorded last week briefly, but Ollie could not say his name for the life of it. And it was technical issues why that didn't go online, but part of me does wonder if he just couldn't edit out the incorrect pronunciations quite as well as he hoped. Simon, we've got Leganes on 18 points at the moment, with Valencia and Deportivo on 19. We quite often talk about sort of in a 38-game season, 40 points is the marker that you want to hit for safety. It appears we're going to be far, far below that this season, doesn't it?
Yeah, I mean, there's obviously a bit of a gap between that bottom three and Leganes. I would say that Leganes, while obviously Ewan's already highlighted that they've had these injury problems, I think they've done the best business out of sort of the bottom 8 teams potentially. I think Malaga did okay. They kind of strengthened the spine a little bit, because they're a team who are kind of looking over their shoulder, because Deportivo and Valencia both have a game in hand on them. But I think like Samu Garcia has got some pedigree at this level. Leganes, the big thing for me is 15 goals scored in 21 games is abysmal. But they have brought in Bueno, who was no bueno at Granada. However, he has got the potential. He's scored goals for Rayo in this division before, and he could be the key man. I mean, a few goals from him, they can defend quite well, which is something that can't be said for the teams below them. So if they can just have a player like Bueno who picks up a few goals here and there, and they can edge a few games out, they could quite easily see themselves rising up to 13th after a couple of good games. And I think it's going to be very interesting to see how it finishes, because with Valencia, obviously, one week it's a crisis, the next week it's Voro is some miracle worker. They could finish 11th, maybe. I mean, you've seen Las Palmas, their form's been patchy, they could drop deeper. Malaga, they can't seem to buy a win under Marcelo Romero for love nor money. And it really is a mix. Under Celta Vigo, I really think it could be any teams finishing really in any order between 11th and 17th. And while it is tight at the top, I mean, there's nothing to argue with when you've got such a big pool of teams of similar quality, and they can all beat each other on their day. So I think there's going to be a lot of change between now and the end of the season. But I would say that Granada, with signing Adrian Ramos, he looked good. And if they can keep Andres Pereira fit and in form, then maybe they'd be in with a shout. But I do think that it's going to be a big, big ask for that bottom three to climb out of that mire that they've got themselves into.
Yeah, and we're talking about Valencia there. If you're looking for whether it's crisis or miracle this week, it's currently on crisis mode for Valencia after their 4-0 defeat to Eibar on the weekend. Looking ahead, we have got Leganés Sporting Gijón on Sunday, which will certainly be the key relegation clash of the week. Just looking further up the table then, especially given the weekend fixtures, which kind of see all of the top teams avoid each other apart from Atletico Celta, which will be on the Sunday night. Sevilla still third and still 3 points off the top spot given Real Madrid's postponement, but it does feel like they've dropped off a little bit lately, losing Espanyol, drawing at home to Sevilla, not quite scoring, not quite keeping them out as well. Is this a case of just a little blip for Jorge Sampaoli, or are we looking at them sort of resuming to their natural order in a way?
Well, I think with the game against Espanyol, there was obviously an extremely early red card for Nico Pareja, so that kind of put them behind before they'd even got going. And also with Villarreal, a very organised team. I think it might have been the last time that Sevilla like kind of struggled to break a team down and didn't score. I think it was against Villarreal last year. So it's no big surprise to me. I thought they might draw against Espanyol just because of their sort of spirit and sort of desire. I thought even with Pareja going off so early that they might scrape something out of it. It didn't quite work out that way. And then obviously it's disappointing for them to not win at home. But a 0-0 draw against Villarreal, it's like a lot of teams are going to be going and playing Villarreal home and away and struggling to kind of break down their two banks of four. So I wouldn't say it's crisis stations or anything like that. I do think that Sampaoli would have probably been a bit annoyed with how the Espanyol game fell apart so early on. But I would say that they're definitely the favourites for third over Atletico Madrid, because I'm finding it quite hard to get excited about Atletico this season, personally.
Well, I would disagree with that a little bit, because when Diego Simeone was talking last week after they drew with Alaves, and he was sort of almost dismissing that third place was still an option. But when you look at the fixture list that they've got coming up, I mean, Sevilla have a lot of tricky games away from home. They got a lot of teams coming to them in the first half of the season, and for Atletico it's the opposite. They have to go away to Real Madrid, but they've got Barcelona coming, they've got Sevilla themselves coming, Real Sociedad coming, Villarreal coming. Everybody's visiting them in the second half of the season, and I think with Sampaoli's team, the way they've been playing, I mean, it just seems so demanding physically and mentally, the way he's changing tactics every week, the way they're running so much. And you sort of saw that with a few of the kind of Athletic Bielsa teams that tried to play that kind of way a few years ago. They would always tail off towards the end of the season, and you kind of expected Sevilla to you didn't think, or I personally didn't think, that they would keep it up for the whole season. I just didn't think they would be dropping these points against Espanyol and at home to Villarreal. But as Simon points out, the Espanyol one was a bit of a unique match with that early sending off.
Absolutely, there's certainly a case of it being a bit of an anomaly, that one, given the circumstance. To give you both one final question then, given the state of where Sevilla at and Atletico Madrid, who certainly seem to be feeling the impact of their transfer ban after a January of inactivity, Sevilla on 43 points, and he can go down as far as Eibar maybe on 32, with Espanyol on a good run of form, three wins in a row, with Athletic Club also on 32 points. If you had to pick one of the sort of chasing pack that has the biggest chance of getting into the top four, the top six, in before the end of the season and staying there, who would you pick?
I mean, I'm going to get in before Ewan says Eibar. I think they're a bit too reliant on their home form. Although, if they can keep Enrique scoring, then who knows? I think Villarreal could maybe drop a little bit further than currently. They're in sixth place. They can maybe drop off a little bit. They've been struggling for goals. Obviously, they got rid of Pato, which is a bit of a nothing departure. But until Soldado comes back and they've got Sansone fully fit again, it's quite hard to see where the goals might come from for Villarreal, I think. In terms of fourth place, I do really like Real Sociedad this season. I liked how against Osasuna they did go a goal down, but there was almost some kind of I don't know, Alex Ferguson-esque belief that, oh, we're just behind, but we'll just keep playing our own game and we'll eventually win. And that's what they did. And they've got some exciting players. I think Vela and Oyarzabal are very good. And also, always got a soft spot for Iaramendi sitting deep. And I think David Zuratusa has been a really good player this season too. So it'd be rude to count them out of the top four race, I think, because Eusebio has been doing some wonderful stuff with them. And I don't see why that can't also continue, as well as the form of, you know, your Atleticos, your Sevillas have been going so far as well.
Are you about to make the case for Eibar, Ewan?
Sadly, I don't know if I can. they've often tailed off at the end of the season, and I'm sure it'll be something similar again. Again, they've had some slightly easier fixtures so far, and they've got some tough ones coming up. But looking at Athletic, who are on the same amount of points as Eibar, but they've been here so many times before where they've been out of the Europa League spots, and then they've just put together the last two or three months of the season where they've just won every home game, won every second away game, picked up a few draws as well. And although they lost 3-0 last weekend, I think Athletic, they've been here before, they know what it takes to go and pick up that fifth spot that they've claimed so many times. So it'd be interesting to watch them and see how far up they can rise, and if they could even overtake Real Sociedad, which it's going to be an interesting one next time the Bass Derby comes around.
Absolutely. Speaking of Athletic Club, they'll be at home to Deportivo La Coruña on Saturday afternoon, fully expecting 3 points there, no doubt. Espanyol Real Sociedad kick off the La Liga action on Friday the 10th. That'll be a very interesting game because Sociedad aren't just a home form team, as we said about certain other teams, but they are very capable of getting points away from home with Espanyol on that winning run. Then we'll have Saturday also, there'll be Real Betis Valencia as Betis get back in action. Alaves Barcelona will be the 4:15 Central European time kickoff. Saturday finishes off with Osasuna Real Madrid. Then Sunday, very much focusing on the relegation battle as Leganés host Sporting Gijón, and then we'll be able to watch Malaga away to Villarreal, Sevilla go to Las Palmas, and then the La Liga action finishes on Sunday night with Atletico Madrid versus Celta Vigo. And then after that, we'll be able to talk about the Champions League returning. That'll be on the agenda next week. Thanks to the two of you for joining me this week, and we shall be back in due course with another version of Marca's Eye on La Liga. Thanks for listening.